Tonight we will continue the study under a general theme, the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church. And we are going to look back on some of the things that were discussed the last time, but at the same time we will try to look on some main lines here in the passage that was read to make sure that we have an understanding as to what Acts 3 is saying to us. And then, as I said before, the next time we will be going on to Acts 4. And so there are four things here that I would like to just make mention of in regards to this man that was healed. And after mentioning them, I am going to open the telephones and ask for your comments on any one of these four that are going to be mentioned here. Your thoughts on it, because I believe that there is more to it than what I have in front of me here. And I believe, without a doubt, that the fact that you read this passage, something the Holy Ghost has deposited in your spirit that the brethren need to hear. And I'm going to ask you for that in a little while as we continue to look on the word of the Lord. Please feel free to voice your opinion here in regards to the word of the Lord. Now, for a background, the last time we started this chapter, we started by giving all the information that is there, that this man was carried to the temple's gate. Every meeting evenings, and somebody placed him there in an effort for him to receive money. As people passed him there going into the temple, he would have asked harm, and somebody would drop something in his hand, and thereby he continued to do that from time to time. And but this particular evening, when they were going in at the moment of prayer, the word tells us, Peter and John were going together, walking in the pier. And the man saw them, and he stretched out his hand, and as he asked them for something, and Peter, the spokesman, said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And verse 4, I like how it was stated there. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us.
Amen.
Look on the unity between Peter and John without any of them exchanging a word in that regard. They were in sync. They were both in sync for the same purpose. And they said to the man, look on us. And Peter, and the man gave heed, verse 5, unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Listen to what Peter said. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, this particular statement here that Peter made is the beginning of the using of the name of Jesus in an outstanding way going forward. And Peter was careful to indicate which Jesus he was talking about. He specifically said, Jesus of Nazareth, to the man. It is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that what I have I'm going to give unto you, said Peter. And even after we mentioned this last time, even after Peter gave that command to him, because indeed it was a command, after mentioning the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Peter discovered that the man was still seated. And Peter exercised the faith that he had in the name of Jesus. Like how you and I tonight must exercise that faith in the name of Jesus. It is one thing to have the Bible before us tonight with all the written information there coming through the Holy Ghost that we should receive. But the question is, do we have faith in the name of Jesus to see what is written here come to pass? And that is what happened to Peter there. After saying to the man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, he did not immediately respond, as was said. So Peter, using the faith that he himself had in the name of that man Jesus, grab a hold of his hand, as if to say, you did not hear what name I've just used. And having held him by his hand and pulled him up, it is at that point that the man's ankle bone receives strength. Peter exercising the faith that he has in the name of the Master Jesus. And the rest is history. Because the word tells us that after that was happened, that had happened, 7 verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and enter with them into the temple, walking, leaping, praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat
at the gate.
And they knew that it was he who, it was, they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the gate beautiful of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now, that is where we left off last time, as we describe from the scripture the outstanding miracle which was done courtesy of the Lord through Peter and John. And so we leave there last time. So there are four lines here that I'm going to quote, not really quote, I'm going to present to you, and I'm going to ask you, what is your thought on any of them as we look on the healing here that comes through the word of God? And the first one is, he entered into the temple. That is the man that was lame from his birth. He now received healing and he entered into the temple. That is the first thought. And the second one is he then starts to praise God. He starts praising God for what had happened. And if I might just add this to it, he starts jumping up. He leaped up. Jump up and down in the Solomon's court, praising God before everyone. And third, he now becomes the center of attraction. He now becomes the center of attraction. And fourth, he cling unto Peter and John. He held unto both of them as if he had no intention of letting them go. Physically holding onto them in the temple. So those are the four points that I'm putting out there as we start, hoping that you will have something to say on at least one of these. And then we'll look on the rest of the passage tonight. So let's start with this as we open the telephone lines. Remember them again. He entered into the temple. He then started praising God. He becomes the center of attraction. And fourth, he cling unto Peter and John in the temple. I don't know if there is a thought on any one of these that you'd like to elaborate on, and the reason you have that thought and how applicable that is to those who have received healing from the Lord today for different reasons. I don't know if you'd like to share a thought there as we continue our studies for tonight. This is a remarkable miracle. Yes, Sister Fiani, good evening.
I was just saying that it's a common thing that when the believer gets a miracle, to hang on to somebody, to hold on to somebody while they are praising the Lord. And if there's not somebody there and there's a pole there or a post somewhere, they hang on to it. It's like you can't just stand and just praise the Lord like that after you get such a miracle. You get very involved, you get emotional, you get excited, and so whatever is nearest to you, if it's a person or a post or whatever it is, you hang on to it and give the thanks and the praise and the excitement.
Yes.
That's just my maybe a little bit of experience too in the past, but that's what happened. It's hard to just get that miracle, get a miracle and just stand straight and give praise. You get excited and you get emotional and you do things.
Yes. Well, Sister Fiona, thank you very much, because point well taken. It is possible, having received a miracle, a supernatural miracle from the Lord, one can overdo it in terms of your excitement in recognizing what has just happened to you. It is very much possible. I mean, I am not saying that happened, and certainly it did not happen, but the way in which the word just told us that the man was leaping and jumping, could it be possible that he could have hurt himself in the course of doing this? Because he is jumping up and that weight is coming down on the foot that is that has just been healed. Trustee Stefani's point. And it would be out of ignorance not really giving the foot a break. But in the excitement of having the ability to feel his feet under him, he is, for the first time in his entire life, that excitement drives him to do things that he was not even thinking of, and the danger in doing it has not come across his mind.
Oh, God.
You see? So it is very much possible, Sister Fiani, the out of the excitement of being healed, out of the excitement of being delivered, your reaction to it can cause you to overdo things. But the Lord was there with him, protecting him. Protecting him. So that problem with his feet would not happen again.
I just envisage him jumping up and saying, thank you, Jesus. You know, and just overwhelmed. Just overwhelmed by what just happened.
I agree with you. And he also forgot that he was there begging. He got a greater gift when he was healed and able to walk. He forgot he was begging. Because he was able to jump on and celebrate with John and Peter that he was able to walk and jump around. And he got the best blessing right there. That's how I said it.
Yes, yes. I think the healing was more than if he had gotten any money.
Yes.
You know, the last time we were here, Brother Barker made a statement similar to that. And next time I talk to Brother Barker, I have to remind him about what he said. Because it is so true. It is so true. He was overwhelmed with the healing. Imagine. The man was 40 years old. 40 years old. And from birth, he has never walked. And now, at that point, he received, I don't know how heavy he was. The Bible did not give us that piece of information. But at the same time, feeling power underneath his feet. And seeing where he was able to walk like all the others into the temple, he expressed it in the most outstanding type of way. And let me say this to the church tonight. In a case like this, who could stop him from shouting?
I don't think it's yellow that would be jumping. I think others would be jumping at him too.
There could be well wishers there, Sister Bernice. Sister Fiani. There could be well wishers there rejoicing with him. But in a case like this, who could stop this man from shouting?
Nobody.
On the top of his voice, I believe he was doing the shout as he was praising God. You see, sometimes in our worship service, we are asking one another if we would just open our mouth and praise the Lord. Praise him for his goodness. I mean, when you think about what the psalmist said in Psalms 150, let me read it. Psalms 150. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalms 150. Because there's got to be something that we need to praise him for. And this man was praising God on the top of his lungs for what had happened. But listen to what the psalm says. Psalms 150. Praise ye the Lord. praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with string instruments and organ, praise him up on the loud cymbal, praise him up on the high sounding cymbal. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord, praise he the Lord. Don't tell me that amidst all of this that the psalmist lay out, you and I can't find something to praise God for.
Amen.
The Bible said the man was praising God. Now, the quietness that normally goes on in that temple, it was the moment of prayer, and hundreds, if not thousands of people were pouring into the temple at that moment. And chapter 4 will bear this out when we get there. And it was normally a hush setting, but for this man to be shouting on the top of his lungs, praising God, every attention at this point is going to be paid to him, because somebody is going to say, what in the world is happening here?
And praising is contagious, Pastor. It's contagious. If he's praising God like that, it's contagious. People are just going to be joining him.
Because what we need to understand this, church, that it was being done under the watchful eyes of the Holy Ghost. This, the Holy Ghost is creating a scene. The Holy Ghost is creating a setting because he knows what else he is going to do right here and then. Right there and then. The Holy Ghost knows the next move that he is going to make. And therefore, the Holy Ghost, all of this was being done under the watchful eyes of the Holy Ghost, who, through Peter and John, this man was able to stand up. Because it is because they were anointed not too long before in the upper room that gave them this power. Ye shall receive power. And this is the demonstration of that power. And it was being done now under the watchful eyes of the Holy Ghost, the unseen guest at that moment. And the man was jumping. And then what makes the whole thing more compelling is the fact that most of those in the temple would have passed him there many times before, knowing that he can't walk. And to see him, the man who they had seen by the gate, can't walk, to see him jumping up in the building on top of his voice, praising and worshiping God, becomes the center of attention.
And Pastor, you know, I want to think that healing virtue was flowing too.
The atmosphere was charged, Sister Fiani. The atmosphere was charged with the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
We will see in a little while. It was charged. So I asked for your opinion here on these four things. As we proceed tonight in our studies. And then another thing to bear in mind is the fact that when he was healed, it is not said anywhere in the scripture before us that Peter or John did say to him, you need to follow us to church. You need to follow us into the temple. If it was said, it is certainly not recorded here. And I don't think it was said. But as a result of the man being healed, he did not turn to the street as if to say, no, I'm able to move by myself. No, I receive what I was hoping to receive all these years. Let me go out on the street and call to my friends. Let me go find somebody down the road. Let me go find a family relative and tell them what had happened to me. Let me go do this outside of the temple. But instead, the man head to the courts of God. And I trust right now, in this present time, that there are many people who have received healing. Many people who are sick, and some people might even give them over and have received their healing and come back to good health. If they would go to the house of God and give him thanks. Today, there are many people. Jesus healed 10 lepers. And on the way, as Jesus instructed them to go and pay their tribute to the priest, one of them decided that, no, the priest did not heal me. It is Jesus who healed me. And I'm going to turn back. Before I go to the priest, I am going to turn back and find the man. He's somewhere out there. And he turned back, the word said, St. Luke chapter 17. He turned back and he came and he found Jesus in the street. And what did he do? Before everyone who were around Jesus, he made his way right in front of Jesus. Bowed down before Jesus in the road.
Hallelujah.
Which our attention was focused now on him.
Amen.
Why did he do that? He did it because he wanted to be grateful. He came back to tell Jesus, thanks for healing me of my leper. Thanks for cleansing me. Thanks for making me whole before everyone.
Amen.
And Jesus said, weren't 10 lepers that were cleansed? So where are the 9? The 9 did not come back to say thanks to Jesus. Only this man, and Jesus described him as a Samaritan. You see what I'm saying? But so this brother here that just received his healing, he did not head back in the street. Instead, he made his way to the house of worship.
Amen.
And in there, he did not look and say, He did not look around to find out who is looking at him. The one thing he knows is healing comes from God. And he was jumping up and he was worshiping and he was praising God.
Mm-hmm.
And he became the center of attraction.
And this reminds us that the word says unthankfulness is a sin.
Can I get one?
Yes.
When Peter stretched his hand and stretched his right hand and lift the man up, the Holy Spirit, he filled up with the Holy Spirit from the presence of Peter and with the presence of God. So when he realized that he find that he could move, it was the Holy Spirit from God that filled him up. That's why he was leaping and rejoicing. Because he could not worship without the Holy Spirit overcome him.
Sister Mary, he must have gotten a touch right there. He must have gotten a touch by the blessed Holy Spirit, as you rightly said. What we are seeing here through these black and white is the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. That is what we're seeing. This is the first, as I've said the last time, this is the first miracle that is recorded since the day of Pentecost. And as Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And it's not only power to do witness to the name of Jesus in terms of preaching the gospel verbally, but power to do miracle of this nature, as we will see more of it as we continue to do the book of Acts. Receiving power to impart that power for the purpose of God in witnessing to the name of Jesus. Because all of this comes through the name of Jesus. And we are going to see the effect of how the name of Jesus was being used throughout this book of Acts. But it starts here. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus is a strong tower, we're told.
Yes. Yes. So the church needs to take encouragement from this. That vested in the word of God, vested in God's servant, is the authority given for purpose like this. It is true that today we have not seen the manifestation of that power as we are supposed to. And then we ask ourselves the question, is it that God has taken back his power 1,000 times? No. The power is still available. This is not something that was done because of the apostle age, as some people would want us to believe. It was given to the church for the life of the church here, that we will demonstrate the power that comes through the Holy Ghost. If we said that it is only for that time, it also means that the Holy Ghost is not with us. But as long as we believe that the Holy Ghost is still with us, as is said here in the Bible, we believe that the power is still available for all of us.
Can I say something, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Sister Mary kind of went where I was going, but add a little bit more about it, because I had an experience, and it says, and you did this last week, that Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Two thoughts came to mind. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he said, you shall lay your hands upon the sick. So the hand is very important. And he used that hand and he lifted him up, and immediately it says his feet and ankle bones received strength. And I think that was the transfer of power, which is the Holy Ghost, that Peter just received, or the rest of the apostles, transferred right into that man, and strengthen this ankle bones, because this is not testimony night, but this morning I was here and I could not put down my foot on the ground because of my ankle. And I thought about this man, and immediately received strength, and those ankle bones get strong, that he was able to leap and walk. So I know that is a transfer of the Holy Ghost. This is what we're focusing on, the power of the Holy Ghost. And the power of the Holy Ghost, I mean, with what everybody else is saying about jumping and dancing, all of that is through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And,
you know, all of, exactly. Yes. Exactly. Somebody else want to say something? Exactly, Sister Barbara. It is through the Holy Ghost, and of course, Peter extending that hand to him, impart that power so that he was able to receive it and react to it. But while that happened, I don't want us to believe that all healing is confined to the same way,
reaction,
the same operation. Because you will remember that the shadow of Peter, the Bible tells us that the shadow of Peter healed those who were sick as well. Peter didn't actually have to touch anybody. Just his shadow passed through, and then they were healed. You will remember also that Jesus, that centurion that came to him,
speak the word.
Said, look here, my servant is sick at home, and I am not worthy for you to come here in order for you to administer healing to him. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Here is a man who understands what authority means. He is a man who is over many soldiers. He's a centurion. Normally, he is responsible for 100 soldiers. And when he gave a command to one, that soldier has to carry out his demand. And so he uses that same authority that he has, that he would speak to a soldier under him, and the soldier would carry out his demand. And he uses that and said, the authority that he know that is in Jesus' word, hallelujah, will perform the healing, even though he is at a distance. And when the man went back home, he found his servant was healed, and he inquired at what time it was done. And he discovered it was the same time that Jesus spoke the word. So while we are rejoicing here that Peter did grab him by the hand, and it is at that time that power received reaches his ankle, we will have to also agree that all healing does not necessarily follow the same course. But there is a common factor in all healing. And that is the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir. This is exactly what you say. Even with Jesus' word, speaking the word, is the Holy Ghost move upon the word?
Exactly.
So every kind of healing, whether it's shadow, whether it's the word, whether it's whatever, especially you know that it's dealing with the book of Acts. It is all about the acts of the Holy Spirit. So it moves in different ways. All kind of different ways, Pastor. So with the leaping, I'm just thinking that with everything else, we just have to focus on the power of the Holy Ghost, because this is all what this is, book is all about.
Exactly.
The power, the acts,
exactly.
The acts of the Holy Ghost, and he acted
yes.
in so many ways.
Yes, yes, yes. Exactly, Sister Barbara. The work of the Holy Ghost in the early church. And just before, I don't know if there's anybody else who would like to share a thought here before we move off from here, but this must be exciting to watch. This must be exciting to watch. And then when you read the rest of the passage, you can't help but walk away convinced that the Holy Ghost knew what he was doing. The Holy Ghost knew what was next to happen. And so, the excitement around that surrounds this man here, that draws all of these people to him, set up the scene for the Holy Ghost's next move. And I want you to look at it now. In verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people, all, listen to that part of the church. Remember, they were gathering now for prayer. And this thing happened. But it says here, all the people run together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. Look at the picture that is being painted here by the Holy Ghost so that we can get it. Look at this picture here. The man that was healed, after finish jumping up and down and create this scene, and everyone come to find out that this is the same man who was sitting at the temple, at the gate out there. And now he is old. What did Holy Ghost allow him to do? The Holy Ghost allow him to identify himself with Peter and John. The word says he held on to them. So just paint the picture for yourself, the picture that the Bible is giving unto us. Just look on it broadly right now. Peter, the man in the middle, John on the other end. All three of them standing together with arms locked. What is it that the Holy Ghost is doing? The Holy Ghost is presenting the evidence to all of those who have come to the prayer meeting. He is presenting the evidence of the work of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus, that none of them there could deny. The man standing in between Peter and John, staring at them, and they all were looking along, three of them, with their eyes pulping out. Because there are two things there that interest them. One, they are interested in seeing the man who could not walk now standing. Earlier on, he was jumping up, he was leaping. That is, and they could not get their eyes off him. Secondly, they start to stare at Peter Because the news get around that is as a result of what Peter said that caused this man to be whole. So they start to stare at Peter as if to say, this is a superman. Then they start to look at John, the companion, who's locked with Peter in faith that caused this man to be made whole. All three of them standing beside each other, and the multitude, all the people that came for prayer meeting, by this time, prayer meeting should be well on its way. Prayer meeting should be well on its way.
It was.
But the Holy Ghost has used the opportunity of all of these people coming together to demonstrate the power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you see the work of the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
No, church, just think with me for a second here. Peter, when he was going up into the temple, before he reached the man at the gate, Peter, it is not recorded here where the Holy Ghost had squeezed a piece of information to Peter and said, look, this is going to happen, then it is going to follow up by this, and then it is going to follow up by this, and then it is going to follow up by that. Peter had no such prayer knowledge as to what the course of the evening was going to be. But every event that happens, Peter was taking it in stride. First, he came across the man, and he imparted to the man what the man needed. The man is not so much money he needs. He needs his healing. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That's the first thing that happened. Peter not knowing exactly how the Holy Ghost is going to use him. And all of us as servants of God, especially in a leadership position, I am saying to us tonight, let us leave ourselves open to be used by the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we have our program locked up so much that the Holy Ghost can't even get a chance to come in.
Amen.
True, sir. Verse 12, Pastor.
Yes, of course. The opportunity is presented to Sister Barbara in verse 12.
Go to verse 12 and you'll see what, because we're looking at these men now. I want you to preach, but I need you to go to verse 12.
Yes, but I am leaving this thing because it is so important that the picture that the Bible is painting to us, we need to look at it. We need to see. Imagine the amount of people in the place. And all of a sudden, the setting at the general restroom or the pulpit. Literally, nobody is there. It is in this common hall here that everybody get up now because of the event of the evening. And every eye, this come like when Jesus read the scripture in Luke 4. The word said after he was finished reading the scripture and in the book to the minister and sat down, the word said all eyes were fastened on him. It is here repeated again. All eyes were locked and glued upon these three men. And here the Holy Ghost gave Peter the opportunity to present his second sermon. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 12.
Amen.
And so listen to what verse 12 said. And when Peter saw it, what did Peter saw? Peter saw the attention that everyone in the temple was locking on 23 of them. It is something that could not escape his attention. And the Holy Spirit came upon the brother. In fact, he had the Holy Spirit all along. But the Holy Spirit whispered to him and tell him, here is the opportunity for a second sermon.
Amen, amen.
And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel. And I make a note of that. Ye men of Israel. They were all Jews. They were all Jews that were in there. And we will see one of the reasons why this was mentioned, calling them out by their name, Jews, Israel.
Amen.
Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why looked ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk? Let me just pause there for a minute, church.
Amen.
Listen to the humble nature of God's servant. Listen to what Peter said under the anointing of the blessed Holy Spirit. Why are you all looking on us? Why is it that you are giving us credit? Why is it that you are thinking that we are superhuman? Why are you doing this to us? Peter asked. As if it was by our power, our ability, that this man is able to walk. Peter said that. So this is where we, especially as leaders, got to be careful that we don't take the glory of Jesus for ourselves, but instead we must not spare a minute, a second, to give the glory to Jesus for his accomplishment. Peter said, why are you looking at us? And to be very honest, if I was there, I would be staring Peter down. I would be staring the man down. I would be staring John down. But then again, the Lord would help me to understand that I should look through Peter, James, Peter, and John, and the man, and see Jesus. Peter said, no, we are not taking the glory here. We are not taking the glory here. So Peter went on to explain to them something else. In verse 13 he said, this is his opportunity now, as he is going to start preaching. Now, as I said to you, by this time, prayer meeting should be well on its way. But here the Holy Ghost has introduced something new into the church. The dispensation of grace has firmly taken a foothold into the church, into the community, into the fabric of man's life. The dispensation of grace is holding firm, because it is by grace that all this happened. The unmerited favor of God shown to the healing of this man. So Peter said in verse 13, and this he now addressed the entire crowd. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And now remember what he said. He called them out by the ye men of Israel. And when he said that, and come here and said the God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers had glorified his son Jesus. When he described God in that way, it rings a bell to them. Because God was always addressed in that way in the Old Testament, and they are familiar with the terms and condition. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Peter made sure that he starts where they know their history, they know the Bible. But because of what had happened not too long ago, because of the crucifixion of Jesus, and the name of Jesus was not recognized as anybody of substance in their mind, these very people that Peter was addressing, Peter made that built up, and then he lowered the truth on them in verse 13 by saying, the God of our fathers had glorified his son, Jesus. Who is Jesus? Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He said that to the man for him to receive his healing. But now he is preaching. And he's preaching to a crowd who does not like Jesus or like the name Jesus. So the Holy Ghost is working in the life of Peter, and Peter is conveying this piece of information to them. Whom ye delivered up. Peter was now pointing finger at them. And because he said, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, who was determined to let him go. Hallelujah. Let me pause here for a second. You know something? I don't know if you experience it, but people who worship on Saturdays, and the Jews as well, one of the worst things that you could say to them, they are the ones who organized to kill Jesus. That is one of the worst things you can say to somebody who goes to church on Saturday, or a Jew. Because they will back away from it so fast, it's not funny. But the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 26, 3-5. But it was the chief priest, it was the elders, it was the scribe, it was the leader of the people who came together and organized to put Jesus to death. Read that for yourself. Matthew chapter 26, 3-5.
Amen.
It was the priests, it was the elders, it was all of those leaders in the Sanhedrin Council that came together and organized that Jesus should die. And they turned the crucifixion over to the Romans, Pontius Pilate. who at that time had the responsibility of exercising crucifixion. So it started with the leaders of the church, the people who came there for this prayer meeting. And so the name Jesus, they hated the name Jesus. But Peter, what a difference the anointing of the Holy Ghost made. Because you remember when Peter, when Jesus was on trial, and Peter saw how they were ill-treating Jesus, boxing, plucking his beard, spotting upon them, and Jesus not responding. What Peter did? Peter denied him. I never know this man. I don't know him. I've never seen him. Three times. But no. Because he was anointed at Pentecost with the Holy Ghost, he's standing before these people. Standing before them. And he is defending Jesus. And not only that, he is putting it to them that it is you who killed Jesus. Oh, Lord. Yes. Oh, Lord. Let me continue to read because time is going on and I didn't realize that we're up to 9 already. I read 14 again. And ye deny the only one and the just one and desire a murderer to be granted unto you and kill the Prince of Life whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. The Holy Ghost anointing King Peter to point the truth in a packed building where these people can hear and where they can understand that this is a new dispensation. And the man at the center of this new dispensation of grace is the man that they crucified. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
But Peter said up there, remember what Peter said? Peter said Pilate was determined to let Jesus go. And that is true. We read that in Luke 23, 13 to 18. Pilate was determined to let Jesus go. And the same people here said, no, release unto us Barabbas instead.
Barabbas.
But crucify Jesus. Peter is bringing back all these things to center stage where they are. And Peter, but you see, you have to see the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. While Peter is saying that, the man that was healed was wedged between Peter and John as the evidence to prove that what Peter is now saying is true.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost knew exactly what to do. The evidence was staring them in the face while Peter was pumping truth into that building.
Amen.
And Peter went on, and this is where I'm going to break this evening. And Peter went on 17. And his name, Peter is saying, and his name, meaning his name Jesus, through faith in him, through faith in his name, made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Peter is saying, this is no plant. We did not take up a man from somewhere and say that he was crippled and now he's healed. We plant evidence. Peter did not say that. Peter said, you know this man. All of you here, you know this man. You passed him at the gate there many days and come into the church. You passed him there. You cannot deny that you have seen him out there. Some of you may have given him money. But you cannot deny that the man was sitting at the gate begging. And Peter was saying, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Peter was saying, here is the evidence of the work which was performed by the man called Jesus, whom you have crucified. Mm. Hallelujah, church. Mm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Peter decided to offer them the hand of mercy at this time. Listen to what that is. 17. And no brethren, my fellow Jews, Peter was saying, and no brethren, 20. I want that through ignorance he did this. Can you imagine? Peter said, look, maybe you did it through ignorance. Maybe you didn't know. Maybe you did not know what you were doing. As did also your rulers. But those things which God had before had shown by the mouth of all the prophets, that Christ should suffer, he had also fulfilled. 19 and last. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. We stop there for tonight. Peter laid the truth, hope before them. A real pointed sermon, and the sermon continues through 4. The sermon is not finished here. It continues in chapter 4. So it means that the prayer meeting could have been, maybe it was abandoned, because the Holy Ghost has arrested all of these people and had them locked into Peter's sermon. And they were there before Peter, James, and before Peter, John, and the man that was healed. Listening to what Peter was saying, as the Holy Ghost was informing Peter and telling Peter what to say at this particular time. Then it reached a part where Peter decided to extend the invitation for a change, for repentance. Peter made that repentance very clear, that it could be that it is through ignorance that you killed Jesus. You did not know what you were doing. But regardless of what happened, you must stand up to your responsibility. You did say away with him and give us Barabbas. So I am calling upon all of you to repent. To repent. Change your heart. Change your mind. Jesus whom you have hated. Jesus who you want to see killed. Change your mind in regards to him. And be converted and be safe. Church, we preach Jesus. We preach Jesus. And we preach Jesus because there is nobody who died for your sin but Jesus. There is nobody who died. die for my sin but Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus declared. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved but by the name of Jesus. Thank you, all of us in this church. Let us look at this passage again. Let us see how the Holy Ghost arranged what we have seen here as he starts the work of the early church to build the body of Christ.